I love community. A group of neighbors, family, friends from all walks of life that collaboratively care for those doing life around them. Helen Keller's famous quote of "Alone we can do so little, together we can do so much," is perhaps the perfect mission behind cultivating a village mindset. Collectively caring for our communities, especially through illness or injury, is such an important role. We are always so excited to grow our village. Welcome to WonderCast, a community collaborative podcast supporting families navigating the complexities of chronic illness or injury. WonderCast is supported by the generous sponsorship of Texas Oncology. Texas Oncology, more breakthroughs, more victories, experts in cancer care. Today, I'm joined by Kelly Hendershot, licensed social worker and vice president at Cancer Support Community. Tune in as we learn more about the incredible resources available through Cancer Support Community and the ways that their programming is building solid foundations of care in the communities that they serve. This is Kelly.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kelly Hendershot. I'm the Vice President of Network and Healthcare Partnerships at the Cancer Support Community, or CSC. I'm a social worker, and what I love about my job is I get to connect with the mission of CSC at all of our CSC and Gilda's Club locations worldwide by being a resource and liaison between all those over 200 locations and our headquarters location.
That's awesome. How long have you been working there?
I've been at Cancer Support Community Headquarters for 5 years now. Before I joined the headquarters team, though, I was the program director at, then it was called Gilda's Club Quad Cities. It is now expanded, excitingly, and is Cancer Support Community Iowa in Northwest Illinois at Gilda's Club.
What do you feel like you love most about the work you get to do? You can pick any hat that you wear.
One of the hard things is giving up your direct service role at sometimes. And so in my shift from being at a network partner location to being at headquarters, is it did seem at times that I was going to have to do that. However, I get to travel to all of our locations, especially those in North America. So I get to see the mission really in action in a different way at all these different locations. Every Cancer Support Community and Gilda's Club, they offer the same things, but each one of them brings that local community and local element to their physical space. And it's just really exciting to see that.
And is that where you connected with one of our co-founders, Missy Hicks? Is that correct? Was it Atlanta where y'all met and connected?
We knew each other before that. We had been part of a collaborative of organizations that support children who are impacted by a loved one's diagnosis. And so we had gotten to know each other a little bit through that work. And then we met in person at the AOSW conference in Atlanta.
That's great. We are very excited about just the growth happening with your company and the growth happening in Atlanta. I just think there's so much connectivity and good work being done there, which is incredible. Kelly, as you are aware, we are so excited to share with our listening audience that Wonders and Worries has expanded and we are now featuring our first sponsored city outside of Texas in the greater Atlanta area. So this means that we have these great opportunities to collaborate with local entities that are also serving the community so that we can work together and have all these incredible resources. We are able to provide our programming in person, virtually, and through groups for individuals living in the Atlanta area. And we are so excited to see this continue to grow.
Yeah, that's really exciting for us too. All of our locations, they provide support to anyone impacted at any age. And COVID kind of slowed down for most organizations like both of ours, some of that interaction with children, teens, family members, just because of that Zoom overload. So we're really excited about any collaborations because it gives us a chance to revive, kind of try fresh new ideas together.
And I love that you get to make it a local endeavor. So I feel like it's incredible that you can really pull from the resources in that specific community and the people that live there and know the people that live there. I think that's incredible. It's a national company, but you have this individualized local footprint, which is, I think, really special. Well, what I would love to do is have you first share about how families or clinicians would connect to your organization?
Sure. So again, we support anyone impacted, and that means the person diagnosed, the family members, healthcare professionals, like other licensed mental health professionals. A really good starting point is really just to visit cancersupportcommunity.org. We have a location finder on that website where you can plug in your zip code and get connected to a CSC or Guildless Club near you. We also have a helpline where you also call 888-793-9355 and similarly be connected with the location near you. That helpline is free, just as is any of our locations. And so I like to tell other mental health providers, other oncology professionals, call that yourself. It's not just for the patients and caregivers. If somebody is needing a resource for a specific area and struggling with their own knowledge base, we can help support that. We have financial navigators, for instance, that are on our helpline that are kind of another tier of support. And then relevant to this community, on the helpline, we have a pediatric oncology cancer specialist. So a social worker who's really well-versed if a child and family is dealing with a pediatric diagnosis to provide that specific assistance and kind of like more catered navigation, if you will.
Well, and I love the focus that it also can be utilized by clinicians. I feel like even I wasn't aware that there were those resources for that community as well.
And again, everything we do is free to anyone impacted by cancer. So on our website, there's also educational material. One of my favorites for a children and teen population is What Do I Tell the Kids? And so it talks to parents, because a lot of times a concern for parents is, do I tell them too much? I don't want to scare them. Do I even use the word cancer? And so that's a workshop in some educational materials that we have that really kind of walks them through what is appropriate. And the ultimate lesson is, do share with your kids. Yes. They pick up on things. And so we'll help do some coaching to make that more comfortable for parents and families to talk about.
Would you say that families connect kind of all along the spectrum of their care? So some early on with those resources on how to navigate those initial conversations, but are there resources for families that might be connecting mid-treatment or maybe at relapse or recurrence?
So some people find out about us right away when they're first diagnosed, which is ideal, but a lot of people don't find out about us until they're through treatment, in their treatment. And so we can provide support at any time during that continuum of care. We also get into pre-vivorship and bereavement support as well.
So really the whole spectrum, which is awesome. What are the benefits that you see the most utilized by the client families that you support?
I think it's just learning how to normalize conversations about cancer. There's still a lot of stigma around the word cancer. And so teaching families how to communicate with each other, how to really, you know, we talk about being advocates with your healthcare team, being advocates within your own family as well, learning what kind of support and help you need, if you need emotional support, if you need more tactical support from people, and then just being comfortable in sharing your story so that you get support from your family versus putting up walls or feeling like you have to protect everybody else. Person with the diagnosis should be concerned about themselves. Obviously, parents are going to be concerned about their children. And that's where we can step in and make sure that their psychosocial, emotional needs are being helped and addressed during a cancer diagnosis.
So when families connect and they're utilizing these resources, are they more in like written form or are there physical tools that they can print out and kind of follow a conversation flow?
So I think that's the beauty of what the Cancer Support Community and Guildless Clubs offer, because we don't have a one-size-fits-all. We give some variety and some different options. So that, frankly speaking about cancer, What Do I Tell the Kids workshop I was talking about, there are download guides that somebody can just read the booklet and have that available to them. There are different support groups, and the support groups will look different depending on what community you're in and what's offered there. But there could be we call it Kids Support. It's our evidence-based program for kids impacted by cancer. So it's ultimately a 10-week series. Sometimes we'll break it up into different portions, but it really normalizes cancer conversations with children. And we can do that with different age groups. And then some locations might have a parents with cancer group. Others might offer family healthy lifestyle activities like a family yoga day, family meditation. So there really is a variety. And anybody who's listening to this Wondercast, I would just encourage you to go to cancersupportcommunity.org, plug in your zip code, and look at the program calendar for the CSC or Guildas Club near you to see what's available.
That's awesome. That's great. Now, are all of your materials primarily in English, or do y'all have support for Spanish speakers as well?
We do have support for Spanish speakers, and that location finder will also note on there what locations the individual network partner can provide support in. We are seeing a need for more and more Spanish, not just translated, but culturally adapted material. So that is something that we're working towards growing. So there is a variety of both. I will be honest, predominantly English, but we're working on building up that Spanish language base as well. A lot of our locations, they do a great job of hiring bilingual staff, whether it's full-time staff or facilitators for the groups that can support those needs as well. And then our helpline, anybody who calls that, we can support in over 200 languages. We do have bilingual speakers in English and Spanish, but through our telephonic support, we can really provide additional support. I know there was an instance in, this is probably getting too deep, but at our Florida location, they had a Russian-speaking family. So to get support and break some of the cultural barriers, they reached out to our helpline. And with the telephonic support and translation services, we were able to get them the support they needed.
That's awesome. I love that. And that's the dream, right? To be able to connect to anybody, anywhere, of any cultural background with the support that your family uniquely needs. So I love that.
There is a growing number of support groups and activities that are led by bilingual English, Spanish speakers. In some cases, native Spanish speakers, not always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're seeing that a lot with our organization as well, just this growing need. So I'm glad that programs are adjusting and growing as well to meet that need. One of the programs that when I was just connecting with Missy and going through the different programs on the site, which I love how user-friendly your site is. So for our listeners that are listening, really do go check it out because we'll link it in this podcast as well. It's very user-friendly, very easy to see the different levels of care that you can be provided and kind of navigate that. One of the programs that I feel is so often underrepresented in this whole concept of full spectrum care is the cancer transition from moving beyond treatment. And I know that we've talked a little bit about that, but I feel like for our listening audience, that is a lot of the feedback we get is, yes, I know we've done the new conversations for diagnosis. And yes, we've been on this treatment journey for a while, but now we are facing this change in our family and we are transitioning to something new. And what resources are there to talk about that? Would you like to share a little bit kind of about that programming?
Yeah, of course. I love talking about cancer transitions. We have a program called Cancer Transitions. It is for the audience specifically that you're talking about. It is offered over 4 consecutive weeks. And what we do is it's 90 minutes per session generally. Some of our locations offer this in person. Some might do it virtually. Some even offer it hybrid for convenience. But we really dive into eating and nutrition, emotional well-being, financial wellness, medical care, physical activity, relationships. So session 1 is get back to your wellness. It's taking control of survivorship. And sometimes it starts with the basics. How do you define survivor? There's technical definitions that from the day of diagnosis, you're survivor, but not everybody relates to that. So there's some really great conversations around that. Week 2 is about emotional health. Week 3 is eating well and staying active. Week 4 is managing your medical story beyond cancer. So in this program, there are different videos on nutrition, exercise, wellness. A lot of the network locations will bring in experts from those areas to have somebody from their local communities talk to those points as well. But it leads to a lot of really great group discussions and interactions. So while it's a manualized program, it's very supportive as well. We have the flagship version of that is Cancer Transitions. It was for patients. That is available in Spanish as well. But we've evolved it. We like to call 2025 the year of the caregiver. So there is also a caregiver version for this. So if you have any loved one in your life, whether that's a spouse, a parent, your children, if you're a caregiver, there's a survivorship series opportunity for you as well now. We have a young adult version in this, and we also have a CAR-T specific version. That one is for survivors and caregivers because of so many nuances with the CAR-T treatments. And then we just finalized a English Canadian version. And so this is a series that went from one version to several different iterations. And one of the great things about it for the healthcare provider side is it helps meet the Commission on Cancer Standard 4.8 on survivorship. So any of our over 200 network locations can provide this, but this is something that we also license beyond our own network. So we've had different health system, if they don't have a CSC or Gilda's Club in their community, they can license to deliver this survivorship series on their own as well.
That's incredible. And you're right. I love the focus of 2025, time of the caregivers. That's amazing. I feel like in our community that we serve, so many of our caregivers really kind of push against the focus on them and move into like, let me make sure my person's okay. Let me make sure the kids are okay. I love that you are highlighting this very important kind of like lapse in care that we see just across the board and providing tools and support for them.
So many people in their lives are like, all right, you're done with treatment. Yay, you're back to normal. You're done. Everything's fine. Well, that's not the case. You've got residual effects and symptoms and side effects. Some people will always have ongoing treatments. And then you've got this scanxiety. And so it's really nice to have a dedicated program focused on that. It just is kind of an aside story. One time when I was delivering this program, there was a group of, I think maybe six women, and they loved their connection to each other through the survivorship series so much. Maybe one or two of them had participated in other programming before joining the survivorship. Some were completely new to our location and the CSC and Gilda's Club program. But they loved it so much. They're like, can we keep meeting? I'm like, well, the series is done. You can use the space, though. And that's the great thing. So many of our locations have this great, beautiful space. Even if they're in a hospital, it's a home-like setting when you walk into the CSC or Gilda's Club space. That's very intentional on our part. We want people to feel comfortable. So I think for a good year after, they were meeting weekly on their own because they connected so well with each other.
Gosh, I love that. And I feel like that's such a testament to the programming as well, that they felt that safety and connectivity, because I'm sure they were from all different diagnoses, all walks of life. They had this common thread now that they could just cultivate and continue to support each other. That's awesome.
And that's exactly it. It's that common thread. I was a former cancer caregiver too, and there's just something magical about being in a room with people going through what you're going through, and you don't even have to talk. It's just nice and comforting to be with other people who get it because they've been in a similar situation.
What advice do you have for anybody that might be listening in, either in the caregiver role or as a patient themselves, or even as a clinician? What advice do you have if they're new to this illness journey and need some guidance?
Reach out, ask questions. I have, through support groups, heard so many times, well, my doctor will tell me what I need to do. My nurse will tell me what I need to know. Yes, but they're very busy. And so it helps to be around other people. Ask questions, ask if things are normal, really pay attention to your symptoms. It can be extremely helpful to have like a journal and log that. Don't assume that it's normal to throw up all day because you have chemo that day. There are things you can do for side effect management. On the caregiver side, ask for help. It's your loved one. You can be so much stronger if you're getting support for yourself as well. I learned that the hard way as a caregiver. So that is definitely lessons learned from my life, where because it was my husband who had the diagnosis, I was the wife, I had to do everything. I burned myself out quickly and learned that I need to ask for help. And a lot of that came from my support group, educating me and letting me know that it's okay. It's a sign of strength to ask for help. For the healthcare professional, just knowing that organizations like both of ours exist, where they can refer their families to, their patients might have a child at home so that they can have resources for the full family, because they're treating actively the cancer, the diagnosis, the medical side. But there's more adherence to that treatment if they can refer to organizations like ours to support the children, to support the family units, and make sure those emotional needs are being met.
Absolutely. Now, in your survivorship program, is this just for families that are looking at cancer diagnoses that are survivable? Or is it for people that are also facing perhaps end-of-life care or moving on to hospice? Do they fall under that realm of survivorship as well?
So for cancer transitions, I would say that caveat is it's for people who are done with treatment, they have a good prognosis. In some cases, it might be permanent treatment, chronic treatment for their diagnosis. We do have other support for those people entering end of life who might need to talk about palliative care if they don't already have it, because that's also a misconception that palliative care is only for end of life. And then starting to talk about hospice. So a lot of our locations will have educational opportunities, really demystifying palliative care and hospice and how they work together. It's not one or the other. And then for people who have had a loss, there are bereavement groups in our community as well. And those bereavement groups do extend. There are options for children as well. Usually they're shorter form. When I was at my location, for instance, we had a 5-week series for children impacted. And they could come back, they could return. But really with bereavement, we want to make sure that their focus is addressing the grief, learning it's okay to talk about it, making that normal, and then living with the loss as well. So carrying that person forward in their heart versus holding on to the grief, or another phrase I hate is moving on.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So that's wonderful. That's good for our listeners to know too, because we know that cancer, and you might be heading into survivorship, have a great prognosis, and then have something change in your care. So at that point, they can just always reconnect, have that new scope that they can now access of information and resources.
Exactly. And one of my most favorite groups that I facilitated was the bereavement groups. I love doing that group because you have people come in, they're so raw, and this part sounds weird, but they're so raw, they're crying, they're sobbing. But then you get to experience that turnaround where they realize, I'm going to be okay. This person is always with me. I'm going to be able to move forward with my life and still carry them with me. And then you see that subtle shift of they've changed from saying the name of their loved one and crying to saying the name and their smile. And then that smile moves to their eyes. And then they're laughing and sharing stories about that loved one. So it's a beautiful transition in itself, kind of playing off that word transition, to be part of a bereavement group as well.
Wonderful. I love all of this. Is there anything else that you feel like I failed to mention, or anything else that you want to share with our listening population?
Okay. So one thing that I would like to share too is Cancer Support Community and Gilda's Club, we call ourselves conveners and collaborators. Nobody can do this work alone. Nobody should do this work alone. And so I'm really excited that we're having more in-depth conversations to see how we can make those connections in our community. So a teaser for some of the things we've talked about between our organizations is making sure there's connections. You mentioned earlier in this call that we're looking at that with CSC Atlanta and Wonders and Words right now, making sure that our locations are aware of all the tools and resources that Wonders and Words provides as well, because there's no, this is your one-stop shop when it comes to supporting families impacted by cancer, right? It takes a village, and that's all of our like-minded organizations that do this work working together as well.
Thank you for tuning into our podcast today. Please subscribe and continue to check back as our content is ever evolving. For questions or specific content-related requests, please send an email to podcast@wondersandworries.org.